Right then, LFU, welcome back to Lads Pre-Match Pod, the correct way to start your match day, either if you're on the train, driving, on the coach, even if you're sat at home. We have all the pre-match conversation that you, the LFU, needs to get ready for those dreaded 90 minutes of Leeds United football. And today, it's Sunday, it's a 4 p.m. kickoff, I believe. What a mental time, or 3 p.m, whatever it is. Brighton at home. Yay, Brighton. The team we always beat. But anyway, before we get stuck into any Brighton pre-match talk, let's talk about last week. Monday's game, let's say, against Spurs. Spurs away. It was always going to be a difficult game in a way. They have a lot of stuff to fight for. We don't have anything to fight for right now. So it was always going to be a tough game. It was going to be all right. It was a fun result, in my opinion. 1-1, the game sounded entertaining. There wasn't really a point where I was a bit gutted about losing or anything because there's just nothing to play for anymore. We've stayed up. That's it. That's the objective. Done and dusted. But it's all right to get a point. We've ruffled a couple feathers down there. It was good fun. Let's see what I had to say straight after the game. Tottenham 1, Leeds United 1. And I have to say, not a bad result, really. You know, if you look at it, like I was saying in the podcast, we ruffled a few feathers, knocked Spurs a little bit further down there now, which is just what we wanted to do. But yeah, an all right result. I sadly didn't manage to catch the game. I was in the shackles of work, had no way of watching it, so it was only Dad keeping me updated. And from the sounds of it, it didn't sound like we played that well. I'll be honest with you, if I had to hazard a guess, I'd probably bet half the players were hungover. I bet they were out partying on that Sunday night. You would be, wouldn't you? We've just stayed in the bloody Premier League. You're going to be doing that. But yeah, an all right result. 1-1 away from home from Tottenham. I mean, it was always going to be a difficult game. Like, we have to remember the plethora of players Spurs has. They are an okay side, like, on paper. So we've always got to keep that in mind. They have a class manager in De Zerbi. But it's nice to ruffle a few feathers and beat at dirty Leeds once again. Come on, Leeds.
Yeah, it was good. Like I said, a fun result. We've managed to put Tottenham into a spot above an hour where they're all panicking. The red lights are flashing. It was all right. The team itself, I heard, didn't really play too well. I think there was a couple of standout performers. From what I've seen from the highlights as well and the clips I saw, we could have done a lot better. We could have done a lot better. If we had our finishing boots on, our finishing shoes, whatever you want to call it, we probably could have won that game. Fair and square, nice and easy. Of course, a couple of dodgy decisions throughout, like, you know, Nemeth's tackle. Ooh, did he win the ball, eh? I'm still in the camp of winning the ball. And also, James Maddison, he drags that back leg as well. He knows what he's doing with his left foot. He's trying to make himself hit the man to get that penalty. He's a little dirty man. And don't even get me started on that offside decision, which robbed us of a penalty. How? How in one frame does it look so onside that anyone can see it, but the automated animation goes, nah, actually, it's offside. Absolute ludicrous. But, you know, it's the Premier League. That's what we're going to get. We're always going to get crap officiating, aren't we? That's just how it is nowadays. Too much reliance on VAR, and that even can't bloody work for that automated daft offside thing. He was onside. We should have had a penalty. Screw you, referees. Right then, enough ranting. Let's get into the Merv Award ratings. So, Merv Awards time. This is where I go through every single player that played in Leeds United's most recent game, which was, of course, Tottenham away, and I rate each and every one out of 10. Now, I've had to get Dad to do this for me because, like I said in that little voice note, I wasn't able to watch the game, which was extremely, extremely annoying. So, I said politely to Dad, Dad, do you mind doing the Merv Award results for me? And he said, yes, of course I will, lad. Of course I will. So, let's get stuck straight into it. Darlow, he gets a 6. I heard Dad say he got done for the time rule for holding on to the ball. Apparently, he just didn't have a great game. So, he gets a 6 from Dad. Rodon also gets a 6 as well. Beal with a 7. Pascal Strike with a 5. And then the midfield, Dan James gets a 4, Anton Stack 6, Ampadu 9, Dad was really singing Ampadu's praises, and the man next to him in midfield, Al Tanaka, he gets an 8 as well. Dad said Ampadu and Tanaka really grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck for us in that second half. Dominic Calvert-Lewin gets a 3, he wasn't a fan at all of him, he kept banging on about how he was missing everything and how crap he looked, and Brendan Aaronson gets a 4. Then players coming off the bench, Longstaff, he gets a 6. I have to say, opinion about Longstaff's attempt on goal that got saved by Kinski, I think he should be doing a lot better. Everybody was saying, oh, what's a save by Kinski? He hits it straight at him. Was I the only one who caught that? Like, genuinely, everybody was banging on about how good Kinski's save was. Okay, fair enough, reaction save, it's nice. But it is just straight at him. It's straight at him. He could have done better, but nevertheless, Dad's given him a 6. Nemecha also comes in with a 6. Bornau with a 5. And Willy Nonto with a 6. So, there we go. That's about that. That's all of Monday night covered. Tottenham done and dusted. Let's move on to today's game against Brighton. So, let's get stuck into Farke's press conference. Injuries. Wow. Can I just say, before I read out the injuries, thank God we have nothing to play for. Because all my days, the players that are out, we would get absolutely shafted. I mean, we still might do anyway. However, when there's pressure on the line as well, oh my God, we would get decimated. So, Gruev is out for the season. Okafor, Goodmanson, Bogle, and Buonanotte are out for today. I mean, Buonanotte is like, you know, I think he's been out for the whole entire season, to be honest with you. But Okafor, Goodmanson, and Bogle, all my days, what is going on? What is going on with the physios, man? Come on, you should be healing our players, not breaking them. Strike also not in training, and Ampadu has an illness. However, I feel like when a player has an illness, it usually means, oh yeah, they're going to be all right. I think they're just like making us like feel nervy because he had such a good game against Spurs. So I think Ampadu will be all right. And let's talk about something else in that Farke press conference, because what on earth was Daniel Farke on about? Genuinely, what was Daniel Farke talking about in that press conference? Because, oh my days, I don't know what's going on. Because the way he was talking, the way he was saying things about, you know, he wants his ambition to match the club's, but the club's ambition isn't at his level yet. This is insane. Like, you don't come out with this stuff just as the season's ended. He's talking like a manager that's going to leave. He looks like he's going to walk or something in the summer once it's all done. He's going to walk because apparently his ambition is a lot higher than what the 49ers want. And in my opinion, look, Farke, I'm all for having high ambitions. Yes, wouldn't it be fantastic if Leeds could push on to Europe next season? However, this is the Premier League. It simply doesn't work like that. In my opinion, if next season, I would arguably love us, and this is me seeing it as progression, finishing between 14th and 10th, but a comfortable 14th and 10th. Like, something like what Newcastle have done. Of course, Newcastle have some great players and stuff, and they've underachieved. However, if you look at that, they've never been threatened by relegation at all this season. Of course, there was that little bit of time where they're like, oh, they could drop down there, but they've never really been threatened by relegation. They had a little sniff of Europe at a time, but ultimately, they finished mid-table quite comfortably. If Leeds did that next year, to me, that's progression. Of course, maybe top half would be fantastic. Could we achieve it? Maybe. It depends what we do in the summer. But from a realistic standpoint, something like a 12th place finish, nice and comfortable, no threat of relegation, maybe flirt with Europe a little bit at the start of the season, I'd be fine with that, LFU. I'd be fine with that. I think that's showing progression, isn't it? We're becoming a solid Premier League team. That's what we need to do before we start rushing into anything and go, right, we need to spend, and get straight up that league immediately. Like it's not career mode. And I don't really get why Farke's saying it. Maybe it's because the board have said, right, we look at what we did last summer and the position that we're in, maybe we could repeat last summer and do that. And we know Daniel Farke wasn't happy with the transfer business last summer. But maybe he's saying it just to like kick up the backside, the board, to go, right, you're going to have to dig into your pocket because I want to sign some good players next year. I want to sign some top quality players. You know, players that could play for every single team in the top half of the Premier League, which is fair and is what we need to do. However, why are we making a scene about this? Why do we need to do this, Fark? We're enjoying ourselves. Save it until the season's done and dusted and leave it at that. We don't need to be saying this stuff now because it just adds some weird and strange uncertainty amongst Leeds United fans. I just found it very strange, but ayo, Fark said what he's going to say. Maybe he's got an offer in from elsewhere that he's tempted with and, you know, the 49ers kind of need to go, oh, well, we really want you to stay, so here's an absolute war chest for the summer. But I guess we'll find out when the time arises, probably around June time. But anyway, moving on from that Fark press conference rant, starting 11, who I'd go for, what I think Daniel Fark will do. So I'd go Darlow in goal, Justin, Rodon, Beal, Bornau, Byram as a back five. Get Byram his last appearance because why not? And then a midfield three of Stack, Tanaka, and I think Ampadu will be back. If it's an illness, I think he'll be fine. Ampadu will see return alongside Stack and Tanaka, which is a great midfield three, by the way. And against Brighton, I'd field the Metro and DCL. Let's just try and bully them a bit. Let's make it difficult for them because it's going to be an extremely hard game today. What do I think Daniel Fark will go for? Darlow, James, Rodon, Beal, Bornau, Justin. So James taking that right wing back role like he did against Spurs. Midfield three, Stack, Ampadu and Tanaka. Exactly the same, just because I think Ampadu will come back because illness is just an illness. And Aronson and DCL up front, I think he'll stick with that. I don't think we will see Nemecha play. But score prediction, let's move on to that now. So Brighton at home, it's our final home game of the season. Let's have an absolute day for it. You know, let's have an absolute laugh. Let's have some beers. Let's get rowdy. It's our final home game of the season as we come into the final two games of what has been a fantastic Premier League season. So, Brighton, yes, they're going to be a very hard team to beat. And Leeds themselves have proved that by not beating them since that Chris Wood goal that we scored at Elland Road about, I think I saw something, it was like 3,300 days ago. So that's great. They're a tough team to beat, Brighton. They seem to be a bit of a bogey team to us. They always do well against us. However, we have drawn against them. We definitely have drawn against them. So I think let's put a good performance out there. Let's try and prove that we're better than what we were on Monday night. Let's go out there. Let's get at them. Brighton are still fighting for those European spots. Again, let's ruffle some feathers. Let's be a pain in the backside. I'm going to say a 1-1 draw. A 1-1 draw again. I'd be happy with that. At home to Brighton, a very difficult team. I'd be extremely happy with that result. So Leeds United 1, Brighton 1. Now then, you've heard enough of me with all the pre-match conversation ahead of Brighton at home. Let's go to Dad to find out what he has to say with his wiser view.
Happy match day, everyone. Or should we say, is it? Thank you very much, Daniel Fark Day. Will this be his last foray with Leeds United at Elland Road after that explosive press conference? Yeah, I think that's kind of got to be our major focus on this today, is making sure we let Daniel Fark know how brilliant he's been after all that heat some segments of the fans, lad, we're giving him at the start of the season, actually how brilliant he's been with, essentially, and I get everything he said. We can go back in this podcast and to pre-season versions, and I was very much, this board needs to do a lot of work to make us Premier League compatible. I wasn't impressed at all with how they supported Daniel Fark. It just kind of felt like money must be there when you think about all the income this club has had from sales and the success under Fark. And yeah, he got probably one of the lowest transfer budgets in the whole Premier League and managed to keep us up. I think it's one hell of an achievement. Got us to the semi-final at Wembley. We got a Wembley day out, which result rubbish, day out brilliant. Daniel Fark has given us some great times. Now, it's always going to be hard to beat a Bielsa, just because in a moment Bielsa came in. But certainly, I think he's up there and we should give him some support and thanks at this game today. As for the game, That injury list is horrific. Ampadu potentially out. He was our star player by country mile against Spurs, and we were terrible against Spurs. And until I saw that injury list, I thought, do you know what? We're going to play better at Elland Road, 15, 20% better, and we might be okay. I think they'll score two. I hope we score two. It's going to be a very tough game. I'm going 2-2.
Well, Dad seemingly sound like he's saying goodbye to Daniel Farke there. He thinks he's gone, which is extremely understandable after that press conference. Of course, like, once the season's done and dusted, and, you know, we could stray away from the match day conversation, we get stuck into that a bit more. We're going to find out a lot more of what Daniel Farke was on about. But, yeah, I have to say, agree with Dad. It's going to be a difficult game. Our injuries really, really aren't helping us. And I have to say as well, yes, he's outing me for slating Daniel Farke at the start of the season. Yes, I was one of those people. I for sure said he wasn't going to be Leeds United manager at the end of the season. And you know what? He has done an absolutely fantastic job with this team. And let's have an amazing final home game of the season. Let's go and try and get 3 points against Brighton. That will be fantastic, LFU. So make sure to follow our socials, Lad to Leeds on Instagram and on X. If you're off to the game today, go have some fun. I certainly will be. And if you're staying in your nice warm house, off to the pub, listening on the radio, have an absolute cracking time, whatever you're doing, LFU. Let's try and go get 3 points against Brighton. Let's try and work our way up that league and ruffle a few more feathers. Come on, Leeds!